Magrita Ġus, nsemmilkom nilqakom għal program ieħor il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. U llum ukoll il-programm se jkun iddedikat lin-nisa kittieba Franċiżi. Kif semmejna fl-aħħar programm, fil-bidu tas-seklu 17, inħoloq moviment ta' nisa u irġiel intellettwali u aristokratiċi li kienu jiltaqgħu fis-salotti ta' xulxin u jiddiskutu u jirrakkontaw l-istejjer. Kienu jirrakkontaw l-istejjer b'mod spontanju, kif fil-fatt għamlet Madame d'Aulnoy, u dan l-istil letterarju Franċiż issejjaħ Preziosité. Minn dan il-moviment li semmejna ħarġu kittieba nisa ta' talent kbir bħal Madame de Scudéry, Madame Lafayette, flimkien ukoll ma' il-kittieba li se nitkellmu dwarhom illum Gabrielle Suzanne Barbeau de Villeneuve u Jean-Marie Le Prince de Beaumont. It-tnejn li huma dawn li semmejna l-aħħar kemm Beaumont kif ukoll Villeneuve kitbu il-verżjoni tagħhom ta' Beauty and the Beast li ftit jewis nistgħu ngħidu ibbażata fuq Cupid and Psyche qed nirreferi għal dik il-ħrafa mitoloġika li ftaħna l-ewwel programm biha. Ukoll fuq The Girl Who Married a Snake tal-Pancha Tantra. U l-istess samlu kemm straparola kif ukoll Basile l-kittieba Taljani fil-fatt straparola ħareġ b'xi ħaġa simili fir-Re Porco u Basile fil-Pentamerone. Fil-fatt l-ewwel tliet stejjer ta' dan ix-xogħol letterarju ta' Basile, il-Pentamerone, hemm dawn l-irġiel li mhumiex mostri imma meqjusin hekk metaforikament. Fl-1697 kemm Charles Perrault, li fil-fatt se nitkellmu dwaru fil-programm li jmiss, kif ukoll Madame d'Aulnoy ħarġu wkoll din l-idea, Friquet alla Hupe ta' però il-mostru Riquet jinbidel u jisir sabiħ, forsi fajnejn il-mabuba biss. U fl-Mouton ta' d'Aulnoy il-muntun imut fl-assenza tal-mabuba u Madame d'Aulnoy kitbet aktar dwar din it-tema iżda din id-darba ma kienx muntun iżda zrinċ u serp. Iżda il-verżjoni li nafu ta' Beauty and the Beast mhijiex dik ta' Villeneuve, minħabba li l-verżjoni tagħha kienet twila ħafna, issa dik ta' Madame Beaumont. Dan iż-żewġ nisa, it-tnejn donnhom saru kittieba frott is-sitwazzjoni negattiva li kienu qed jgħixu fiha. It-tnejn kellhom żwieġijiet li fallew u li kellhom jgħinu lilhom infushom finanzjarjament permezz tal-kitba. Il-verżjoni ta' Villeneuve ta' Beauty and the Beast bil-fatt ġiet ippubblikata fi ktieb bl-isem ta' The Young American Girl and the Sea Tales, Le Jeune American e Le Comte Marin. L-istorja tirrakkonta kif din it-tifla Amerikana tmur lura fuq il-farm ta' missiera ġo Santo Domingo u daġara wara li spiċċat l-istudji tagħha ġo Franza. Il-governanti li kien qiegħda tivvjaġġa magħha u jkun qegħdin jivvjaġġaw fuq dan il-vapur tispiċċa ma' xi nies oħrajn u dawn jibdew jirrakkontaw l-istejjer. Jirrakkontaw kemm Beauty and the Beast u le najjad. Imma kienet Beauty and the Beast fil-fatt li għamlet suċċess. Ma nixxi ngħidu l-verżjoni ta' Villeneuve kienet l-aktar kumplessa. Fil-fatt aktar kumplessa minn dik ta' Beaumont. F'ta' Beaumont jitħalla barra il-fatt li il-prinċep jiċħat l-imħabba tas-saħara t-tajba u b'kastik isir mostru. Fil-verżjoni ta' Villeneuve, Beauty hija prinċipessa u mhux tifla ta' negozjant. Terġa' il-mostru seta' jiżewweġ biss tifla ta' dem nobli. It-tjubija li għandha Beauty f'din il-verżjoni ta' Villeneuve hija konsegwenza ta' dem aristokratiku tagħha. Din il-verżjoni hija fil-fatt iktar erotika u tinsisti fuq il-mostrożità tal-mostru. Fil-fatt, il-verżjoni ta' Villeneuve hija ħafna aktar spinta tant il-mostru jitlob lil-Bell biex torqod miegħu. Bell ikolla ħolm ta' pjaċir meta toħlom bil-prinċep imbagħad fl-aħħar tiskopri li l-mostru u l-prinċep huma l-istess persuna. Villeneuve tagħti kontribuzzjoni kbira lin-nisa permezz tal-kitba tagħha fejn titkellem dwar id-diffikultajiet finanzjarji tagħhom, titkellem ukoll dwar il-problemi tal-kuntentizza tal-mara u koll in-nuqqas ta' kuntentizza fi żwieġ. Forsi għaliex hi stess ma tantx kellha żwieġ feliċi, kienet miżewġa dall-uffiċjal militari. U meta miet, ħallija mingħajr sold. Aktar tard iltaqgħet ma' kittieb tal-ħrejjef u ma rettajx miegħu. U qed jista' jimmaġina dak iż-żmien kemm kienet qiegħda tmur kontra il-kurrent. Issa di Madame de Beaumont ħasset li kellha terġa' tikteb Beauty and the Beast għaliex il-ħrafa l-oriġinali ta' Villeneuve kif għedna kellha mal-200 paġna u kienet qiegħda tindirizza udjenza ta' aristokratiċi u dawk ta' klassi tan-nofs. Din ir-rafa ta' Villeneuve ma kienx maħsuba biex tiġi rrakkontata fis-salotti iżda għall-qari privat. Il-messaġġ li rridha tgħaddi Villeneuve kien ambivalenti daqshekk ta' Madame d'Aulnoy meta jikkonċerna n-nisa. Fil-rejf tagħha ir-regol u l-kodiċi morali kienu jagħmluhom in-nisa. U kien hemm ukoll ir-regoli tas-saltna ta' sħaħar. Per eżempju f'Beauty and the Beast, Beauty hija mfaħra għax hija sottomessa, doċli u mimlija serjetà. Hija soda, ma tiksirx kemm meta mal-mostru u meta ħuta jkun foffaw kontri hija tinduna. Naraw ukoll element ta' sagrifiċċju min-naħa tagħha li kienet lesta li tiċċaħħad mill-mostru minħabba il-klassi tagħha. U fil-fatt kien aristokratiku waqt li kienet mill-klassi tan-nofs. Imma il-virtu fil-ħrejjef tirbaħ fuq il-klassi u tkun is-saħħara t-tajba li tiddeċidih dan, wara kollox Beauty kienet fil-fatt prinċipessa kif imbagħad tiskopri u prinċipessa rivoluzzjonarja. Il-vera sbuħija skont Villeneuve hija it-tjubija u tiġi premjata minkejja l-klassi. Naraw din il-prova kontinwa fejn l-azzjonijiet tal-karattru jiġu marblin biex jaraw jekk dawn jinqabdux fin-nassa ta' emozzjonijiet negattivi bħall-ajra, rejba u irnexxilhom xi kontrollawhom. Beauty dejjem tażel li taqdi d-mirijiet minflok li tħalli l-qalba tiddettala. F'kelma waħda di Beauty fil-verżjoni oriġinali ta' Villeneuve teżerċizza din iċ-ċaħda li bl-Ingliż nsejħula self-denial. Madame Beaumont ma xaqitx iddaħħal dak l-element fil-verżjoni tagħha għaliex hi kienet taħseb li n-nisa li jaqraw dan ir-rafa jiġu mqarqin għax jaħsbu li hekk wieħed jaddotta dan is-self-denial, allura kull ma jixtieq fil-ħajja se jieħdu. Fil-fatt Madame Beaumont kellha f'moħħha tfal u għalhekk adattat din ir-rafa lihom. Il-ktieb ta' Beaumont inkiteb meta kienet qiegħda taħdem bħala governanti ġo Londra. Għalhekk kellha ħafna kuntatt ma' tfal. Beauty and the Beast ġiet ippreżentata bħala ħrafa li biha tfal jitgħallmu kif għandhom iġibu ruħhom. Hawnhekk Beauty hija lesta li ssalva l-ħajja ta' missiera u għalhekk lesta li tħobb mostru. L-importanti li tobdi xewqa tal-missier li jirrappreżenta l-awtorità. Ma tagħtix importanza lid-dera iżda lill-karattru. Issa Madame Beaumont kienet stabbiliet li l-rafa kellha tkun didattika adattata tfal u kellha tkun qasira biex it-tfal ma jiddejqux u jiftakruha. Kellha wkoll tindirizza problemi soċjali u li kienet tkun possibbli tintuża fil-klassi. U li is-saħħaħ fl-aristokrazija is-sens ta' poter. L-istess ħin din il-kittieba ta' d-dinjità lill-mara fejn in-nita is-saħħaħ l-istatus tagħha u s-sipposta fil-kamp edukattiv. Mela xiera issa li nisimaw din il-verżjoni ta' Beaumont li jisima Beauty and the Beast. There was once a very rich merchant who had 6 children, 3 sons and 3 daughters. Being a man of sense, he spared no costs for their education, but gave them all kinds of masters. His daughters were extremely handsome, especially the youngest. When she was little, everybody admired her and called her the Little Beauty, so that, as she grew up, she still went by the name of Beauty, which made her sisters very jealous. The youngest, as she was handsomer, was also better than her sisters. The two eldest had a great deal of pride because they were rich. They gave themselves ridiculous airs and would not visit other merchants' daughters, nor keep company with any but persons of quality. They went out every day to parties of pleasure, balls, plays, concerts, and so forth, and they laughed at their youngest sister, because she spent the greatest part of her time in reading good books. As it was known that they were great fortunes, several eminent merchants made their addresses to them, but the two eldest said they would never marry, unless they could meet with a duke or an earl at least. Beauty very civilly thanked them that courted her, and told them she was too young yet to marry, but chose to stay with her father a few years longer. All at once the merchant lost his whole fortune, excepting a small country house at a great distance from town, and told his children with tears in his eyes they must go there and work for their living. The two eldest answered that they would not leave the town, for they had several lovers, who, they were sure, would be glad to have them, though they had no fortune. But the good ladies were mistaken, for their lovers slighted and forsook them in their poverty. As they were not beloved on account of their pride, everybody said, "They do not deserve to be pitied. We are very glad to see their pride humbled. Let them go and give themselves quality airs in milking the cows and minding their dairy." But added, "They, we are extremely concerned for Beauty. She was such a charming, sweet-tempered creature, spoke so kindly to poor people, and was of such an affable, obliging behavior. Nay, several gentlemen would have married her, though they knew she had not a penny. But she told them she could not think of leaving her poor father in his misfortunes, but was determined to go along with him into the country to comfort and attend him. Poor Beauty at first was sadly grieved at the loss of her fortune. But," said she to herself, "were I to cry ever so much, that would make things better. I must try to make myself happy without a fortune." When they came to their country house, the merchant and his three sons applied themselves to husbandry and tillage, and Beauty rose at 4 in the morning and made haste to have the house clean and dinner ready for the family. In the beginning she found it very difficult, for she had not been used to work as a servant, but in less than 2 months she grew stronger and healthier than ever. After she had done her work, she read, played on the harpsichord, or else sung while she spun. On the contrary, her two sisters did not know how to spend their time. They got up at 10 and did nothing but saunter about the whole day, lamenting the loss of their fine clothes and acquaintance. "Do but see our younger sister," said they one to the other. "What a poor, stupid, mean-spirited creature she is, to be contented with such an unhappy, dismal situation." The good merchant was of quite a different opinion. He knew very well that Beauty outshone her sisters, in her person as well as her mind, and admired her humility and industry, but above all her humility and patience. For her sisters not only left her all the work of the house to do, but insulted her every moment. The family had lived about a year in this retirement, when the merchant received a letter with an account that a vessel on board of which he had effects was safely arrived. This news had liked to have turned the heads of the two eldest daughters, who immediately flattered themselves with the hopes of returning to town, for they were quite weary of a country life, and when they saw their father ready to set out, they begged of him to buy them new gowns, headdresses, ribbons, and all manner of trifles. But Beauty asked for nothing, for she thought to herself that all the money her father was going to receive would scarce be sufficient to purchase everything her sisters wanted.
"What will you have, Beauty?" said her father.
"Since you have the goodness to think of me," answered she, "be so kind to bring me a rose, for as none grows hereabouts,
They are a kind of rarity.
Not that Beauty cared for a rose, but she asked for something, lest she should seem, by her example, to condemn her sister's conduct, who would have said she did it only to look particular. The good man went on his journey, but when he came there, they went to law with him about the merchandise, and after a great deal of trouble and pains to no purpose, he came back as poor as before. He was within 30 miles of his own house, thinking on the pleasure he should have in seeing his children again, when going through a large forest he lost himself. It rained and snowed terribly. Besides, the wind was so high that it threw him twice off his horse, and night coming on, he began to apprehend being either starved to death with cold and hunger, or else devoured by the wolves, whom he heard howling all around him, when, on a sudden, looking through a long walk of trees, he saw a light at some distance, and going on a little further, perceived it came from a palace illuminated from top to bottom. The merchant hastened to the place, but was greatly surprised at not meeting with anyone in the outer courts. His horse followed him, and seeing a large stable open, went in, and finding both hay and oats, the poor beast, who was almost famished, fell to eating very heartily. The merchant tied him up to the manger, and walking towards the house, where he saw no one, but entering into a large hall, he found a good fire, and a table plentifully set out, with one cover laid. As he was wet, quite through with the rain and snow, he drew near the fire to dry himself. "I hope," said he, "the master of the house or his servants will excuse the liberty I take. I suppose it will not be long before some of them appear." He waited a considerable time until it struck 11, and still nobody came. At last he was so hungry that he could stay no longer, but took a chicken and ate it in 2 mouthfuls, trembling all the while. After this he drank a few glasses of wine, and growing more courageous, he went out of the hall and crossed through several grand apartments with magnificent furniture, until he came into a chamber which had an exceeding good bed in it, and as he was very much fatigued, and it was past midnight, he concluded it was best to shut the door and go to bed. It was 10 the next morning before the merchant woke, and as he was going to rise, he was astonished to see a good suit of clothes in the room of his own, which were quite spoiled. "Certainly," said he, "this palace belongs to some kind of fairy, who has seen and pitied my distress." He looked through a window, but instead of snow, saw the most beautiful arbours interwoven with the most beautiful flowers that were ever beheld. He then returned to the great hall, where he had supped the night before, and found some chocolate ready, made on a little table. "Thank you, good Madam Fairy," said he aloud, "for being so careful as to provide me breakfast. I am extremely obliged to you for all your favours." The good man drank his chocolate, and then went to look for his horse, but passing through an arbour of roses, he remembered Beauty's request to him, and gathered a branch on which were several. Immediately he heard a great noise, and saw such a frightful beast coming towards him that he was ready to faint away.
"You are very ungrateful," said the beast to him, in a terrible voice. "I have saved your life by receiving you into my castle, and in return you steal my roses, which I value beyond anything in the universe. But you shall die for it. I give you but a quarter of an hour to prepare yourself and say your prayers."
The merchant fell on his knees and lifted up both his hands. "My lord, I beseech you to forgive me. Indeed, I had no intention to offend in gathering a rose for one of my daughters, who desired me to bring her one."
"My name is not my lord," replied the monster, "but beast. I don't love compliments, not I. I like people to speak as they think, and so do not imagine I am to be moved by any of your flattering speeches. But you say you have got daughters. I will forgive you, on condition that one of them come willingly and suffer for you. Let me have no words, but go about your business, and swear that if your daughter refuse to die in your stead, you will return within 3 months."
The merchant had no mind to sacrifice his daughters to the ugly monster, but he thought, in obtaining his respite, he should have the satisfaction of seeing them once more, so he promised upon oath he would return, and the beast told him he might set out when he pleased.
"But," added he, "you shall not depart empty-handed. Go back to the room where you lay, and you will see a great empty chest. Fill it with whatever you like best, and I will send it to your home."
And at the same time Beast withdrew. "Well," said the good man to himself, "if I must die, I shall have the comfort, at least, of leaving something to my poor children." He returned to the bedchamber, and finding a great quantity of broad pieces of gold, he filled the great chest the beast had mentioned, locked it, and afterwards took his horse out of the stable, leaving the palace with as much grief as he had entered it with joy. The horse, of his own accord, took one of the roads of the forest, and in a few hours the good man was at home. His children came round him, but instead of receiving their embraces with pleasure, he looked on them, and holding up the branch he had in his hands, he burst into tears.
"Here, Beauty," said he, "take these roses. But little do you think how dear they are to cost your unhappy father."
And then related his fatal adventure. Immediately the two eldest set up lamentable outcries, and said all manner of ill-natured things to Beauty, who did not cry at all.
"Do but see the pride of that little wretch," said they. "She would not ask for fine clothes, as we did. But no, truly, Miss wanted to distinguish herself, so now she will be the death of our poor father, and yet she does not so much as shed a tear."
"Why should I?" answered Beauty. "It would be very needless, for my father shall not suffer upon my account, since the monster will accept of one of his daughters. I will deliver myself up to all his fury, and I'm very happy in thinking that my death will save my father's life, and be a proof of my tender love for him." So Beauty convinced her father to take her to the beast, and when her father kept insisting on staying near the beast instead of her, she told him to leave, and that night she dreamt of a fine lady, who told her,
"I am content, Beauty, with your good will. This good action of yours in giving up your own life to save your father's shall not go unrewarded."
Yet her father still could not be comforted. But she insisted, and remained at the beast's palace. At noon she found dinner ready, and while at table was entertained with an excellent concert of music, though without seeing anybody. But at night, as she was going to sit down to supper, she heard the noise the beast made, and could not help being sadly terrified.
"Beauty," said the monster, "will you give me leave to see you sup?"
"That is as you please," answered Beauty, trembling.
"No,"
replied the beast.
"You alone are mistress here. You need only bid me gone, if my presence is troublesome, and I will immediately withdraw. But tell me, do not you think me very ugly?"
"That is true, for I cannot tell a lie, but I believe you are very good-natured."
"So I am. But then, besides my ugliness, I have no sense. I know very well that I am a poor, silly, stupid creature."
"'Tis no sign of folly to think so, for never did fool know this, or had so humble a conceit of his own understanding."
"Eat, then, Beauty, and endeavour to amuse yourself in your palace, for everything here is yours, and I should be very uneasy if you were not happy."
"You are very obliging,"
answered Beauty.
I own I am pleased with your kindness, and when I consider that, your deformity scarce appears.
Yes, yes, my heart is good, but still I am a monster.
Among mankind there are many that deserve that name more than you, and I prefer you, just as you are, to those who, under a human form, hide a treacherous, corrupt, and ungrateful heart.
If I had sense enough, I would make a fine compliment to thank you, but I am so dull that I can only say I am greatly obliged to you.
Beauty ate a hearty supper, and had almost conquered her dread of the monster, but she had like to have fainted away when he said to her,
Beauty, will you be my wife?
She was some time before she dared answer, for she was afraid of making him angry if she refused. At last, however, she said, trembling, No, Beast. Immediately the poor monster went to sigh, and hissed so frightfully that the whole palace echoed. But Beauty soon recovered her fright, for Beast, having said in a mournful voice,
Then farewell, Beauty,
left the room, and only turned back now and then to look at her as he went out. When Beauty was alone, she felt a great deal of compassion for poor Beast.
Alas, said she, this thousand pities, anything so good-natured should be so ugly.
Dicin et silta min Beauty and the Beast, nasa pien al historia hafna minkom tafua, jew inkella jekle tistaw tfittxua u taqrawa. Il-program nimis jixraq li nitkellmu dwar il-kittib Franċiż Charles Perrault, din id-darba raġel, fil-fatt referejna għalih ħafna fil-program li għaddew, u sa nisimgħu il-verżjoni oriġinali ta' Bluebird li fil-fatt kienet ispirata minn serial killer li kien jgħix ta' kizmin. Mela tinsewx naqdu miegħi Margita Juice għal programm ieħor il-ħrejjef l-erf u l-maġija. Sa dak it-tant saħħa.